Well, hello, quantum engineers, and welcome to Becoming Quantum, the metaphysics of miracles, level 2. This is module 4 in our Becoming Quantum series, and I hope wherever you are in the world that you are doing well. I know that the world is experiencing a little bit of chaos right now, given the corona situation that's happening. So really, there is no more perfect time for us to be doing our Becoming Quantum work than right now. So I hope you had an opportunity to dive in and enjoy Module 3, the previous module, and got an opportunity as well to listen to the replay of our coaching call where we did an awesome guided meditation in stillness, and that you're continuing to practice the tools. This is module 4, and this is your divine state accessing infinite potential. When we're working in the quantum, we understand that our reality is a dynamic reflection of our consistent energetic states. Over time, our reality to reflect those states, our reality, the universe, the quote reflects back to who we are being, energetically, emotionally, mentally, etc., and our states. And so it's really important for us to discover the patterns of mind and energy that will elegantly shape our future. And it helps us, it helps become a powerful key to altering and shaping our outcomes. And so this module helps you move beyond the limits of time, the past especially, by refining your energetic states and aligning them with your chosen future. This is power. This whole level of phase 2 is helping us cultivate, expand, amplify, direct power. And power is amplified as we gain greater mastery over our energetic, mental, emotional, and physical states. That's super important to remember. If we don't have mastery over our energetic states, then things can go sideways, or we'll be shaping things in the quantum that we don't want to. And so as we're able to intentionally and deliberately integrate, shift, and neutralize our states, especially those that are conditioned in self, then our access to the quantum through our soul and source position becomes more efficient, more elegant, and expansive. And those three words, efficiency, elegance, and expansion, are words that I want you to really start to become familiar with. So if you've got your notes in front of you, write those three states down. Efficient, elegant, expansive. And as you start to navigate through this process of states, I want you to start to check in and inquire if you're noticing if you're in a mental, energetic, emotional, or physical pattern, or you're making choices in that position, to ask yourself, is this energy efficient? Is it elegant? Is it expansive? Is this mental pattern elegant, efficient, or expansive? Is this action I'm about to take, is it efficient? Is it elegant? And is expansive? Are these feelings that I am navigating, are they efficient? Are they elegant? And are they expansive? To put it very simply, put, is this energetic state that I'm in serving my quantum goal? Is this energetic state I'm in leading me towards my outcome or away from my outcome? And these three questions of, is it efficient? Is it elegant and expansive? Become very powerful tools to use to help you navigate state. They will serve you well. But before we dive into our module, let's do a quick review of what we covered in our last module, Becoming the Creator, You Are Quantum. We started to navigate the shift from working with spirit to working as spirit, as an amplifier of power. We discovered the integrated nature of soul as the center point that is essential to helping us ground source, and that is that integrated position of matter and spirit, masculine and feminine, positive electrical charge, negative electrical charge, everything and nothing, outer world, inner world, etc. we discovered the flexibility of aperture and our ability to control it. And we recognize that when we're coming from the limits of self, the aperture is very tight and very constricted. We discovered that when we're moving from soul and source, the aperture expands and we have far more perceptive ability. We discovered the difference between coherence, amplitude, and frequency, and how coherence and amplitude are crucial to our quantum process. We discovered how identity shapes perception, and that who we are being determines how we perceive the world. We discovered the power position lies in the middle of polarities, right? You know, like I said before, between matter and spirit, between everything and nothing is a creative power point. We discovered the raw materials of miracle making. It's not just about thought, but it's about belief and attitude and action and trust and all of those things. We discovered two ways to amplify flow. The number one being resist nothing, and number two being practicing the golden rule. And in our guided and in our coaching call, we did a very powerful guided meditation of stillness, which I really encourage you to practice. I encourage you to continue to practice with all of this work, but especially with that guided meditation that we did in the coaching call. So as a phase two reminder, as we're diving into power, becoming power, power is the ability to engage with, to shape and direct energy to create physical outcomes. Particularly in this moment, in this module, it's being able to use states to engage with, shape, and direct energy to create physical outcome. These states are going to become really, really important. So again, power is amplified, refined, and becomes directable when we learn how to manage our energetic states. The definition of a state is the particular condition that someone or something is in at a specific time. Are you in a coherent energetic state? Are you in an incoherent state? Are you in an erratic energetic state? Are you in a stressed energetic state? Or are you in a clear energetic state? So our focus is to be certain that our state, mind, body, feeling, and spirit is aligned with, is harmonious, is in phase with, is coherent with the quantum and with our goal as consistently as possible. It's not going to be perfect, let me just tell you. You're not going to be in state 100% of the time, but we want to be able to be in state as consistently as possible to help us shape the reality. So cut yourself some slack. It's not going to happen, especially at the beginning. It's not going to happen all the time perfectly. It's not going to happen all the time perfectly if there's something sort of erratic happening in the outer world like there is now. But we want to be able to have a degree of mastery over it as much as we can. So our states are first developed in self. This is where we are trained. Our energetic states of mind, body, feeling, and spirit are cultivated here in self. And cultivation is going to be a really important word that we are going to focus on in this module, because states are energetic frameworks that we cultivate, and that these energetic states grow the seeds that we plant in the quantum. So this idea of states and planting and nourishing and nurturing and cultivating is going to be really important in this module. So keep that in mind. So states are conditions of self. When we are unaware, when we are unconscious, when we aren't trained in the quantum, states are conditions of self. Over time, a state will become a condition of soul and source. But at these beginning stages, the things that we're navigating are states that are conditioned in self. When we are young, these states are planted in us, again, using the idea of cultivation and seeds, etc. These states are planted in us by the people around us. They are planted by our parents in moments of love and care and tenderness and support and they're planted in us by the world and our parents when we are not being supported, when we are being diminished in some way. And these states influence our aperture, especially as children. Sometimes when we're, you know, when we are being supported and loved and guided and nurtured, our aperture is open, and we have great access to creativity and love and flow. And when we are not being supported, as you see on the right side of this slide here, that our aperture gets tight. We become very limited. We become restricted. We develop fear, etc. So these states are planted in us when we're young, and we, as children, we apply meaning to those states. We accept them. We perpetuate them. We maintain them, and over time, they start to take shape in our world. Now, as children, we're not conscious that we have any kind of control over this. As children, we're certainly not conscious that we can disregard the states that have been influenced and given to us by others. We're simply not conscious. As children, we accept those energetic states and we make them our own. And we expand them. So if we are given an energetic state that says, I am safe, I am loved, I am good, I am worthy, I am smart, I am supported, I am seen, then we will, as children, take those energetic states, we will give them meaning, and we will build our consciousness based on those states. And then our aperture responds to those meanings, and our reality is built and is shaped in alignment with those meanings. On the other side of that equation, if you have been planted with conditions of self that help you believe that I am unsafe, I am hated, I am bad, I am worthless, I am stupid, I am alone, I am unseen. As a child, those states go directly into our consciousness. We accept them. We make them mean something. And that influences our aperture. And through the course of our life as a child and our level of consciousness, we perpetuate these conditions, and we continue to nurture them, and we continue to give them meaning, and we continue to keep them alive, and our reality grows up based on these states. Now, again, as children, we're not conscious of what's happening, but if we have an experience in our life where we decide that I am bad or I am hated, as children, we make all sorts, we create all sorts of other states that that feed or that build or that expand out of those initial states. Like if we believe I am worthless, then we'll believe, the world is bad and I don't deserve to be loved. I don't deserve to have money or success. I have to play small. Nobody's going to appreciate me. I've got to stay hidden. It's not good for me to shine. All of these other states expand or grow on top of the initial one. And so as children, we are given states by others, and then we add meaning to those states and we amplify them. We make them very sophisticated. We make them very, what would be the word, enmeshed. And then these states become our conditioned nature. So you remember when we're coming from self, we're coming from a conditioning. Our reality is determined by that conditioning. And so that conditioning, unless we're conscious, we carry it with us into our adulthood. So if we have been a child that is conditioned in I am safe, I am loved, I am good, I am worthy, I am smart, I am supported, I am seen, then we will become an adult who has that level of state, and an adult with the degree of aperture that promotes and supports the reality that is in alignment with those states. If we've been a child that has been conditioned in I am unsafe, I am hated, I am bad, I am worthless, I am stupid, I am alone, and I am unseen, then you will grow into an adult who at the framework of their being perpetuates those ideas as well. And so, I mean, the way that each of these states can manifest themselves in an adult are vast and varied. But you see how these states, regardless of whether you're a child or whether you're an adult, influences your aperture, influences the amount of light, information, energy that you can move into the world. It influences the amount of energetic resources that you have access to, that you can gather from the field, and that you can shape in the field. So these states that are given to us when we are young, and they are maintained and built upon as we age, serve and create our outer world. So this is really important. But the cool thing of it is we can alter them as we get older. So the quantum reality is you have been creating since you were a child. You have been nurturing and replanting these seeds of worthiness or unworthiness. You've been nurturing and replanting the seeds of I am good or I am bad, I am safe or I am unsafe since you were a kid. And the meaning that you've been given these seeds in these states and your acceptance of them due to your lack of consciousness, because you're a child, you're not conscious, that reality has perpetuated their ability to shape your world. Okay. People give you, so put it super simply, people give you seeds, they were planted, and then as a kid, you nourish them and they continue to grow. As you become more quantum, you begin to recognize the intentionality and the deliberate nature of what you have been unconsciously planting. As you become more quantum, you look out into your physical 3D world and you see certain conditions in your world and I must be planting some stuff here because there are some realities in my world that I don't really like and that I'd like to change and I'd like to grow a different outcome. And as that mature quantum nature kicks in, you become aware of the states, the energetic states that accompany each choice. And this is cool because if you're aware of it, if you become conscious of something, you can change it. Yay! This generates power. When you're unconscious of a scenario, you can't change it. The more conscious you become of something, the more power you have to change it. So recognize that your energetic states, since you were wee tot, have shaped your reality. And so what I want you to start to do is I want you to start to recognize the energetic thoughts, the energetic feelings, the energetic emotions, the energetic attitudes and actions, the energetic states that you've been carrying around with you since you were a wee kid. And the best way to get clear about that is to look into your external reality and say, what is going on in my external world that I can link to a state? So your external world is showing you really profoundly what energetic states you're carrying around with you. Okay. This generates power. So our mission when we're playing with states, when we're working with states, is the idea of planting a new perspective. And remember that we understood in the previous module that identity shapes perspective. Energy shapes perspective. and perspective based on who we are being, if we're coming from, let's go back in these slides here for a second. If we're coming from the guy on the right, I'm unsafe, hated, bad, worthy, worthless, stupid, alone, and unseen, you're going to shape a different perspective. If you're coming from, and you're going to have results in your world, money, love, relationships, health, well-being, peace of mind, that are in direct accordance to that. If you're coming from, I am safe, I'm loved, I'm good, I'm worthy, I'm smart, I'm supported, I am seen, that's going to be a different planting that is going to shape a different perspective. Right. So depending on what side of that energetic equation you're coming from, that's going to determine what you perceive. That's going to determine what you have in your world. It's going to determine your level of health, wealth, happiness, success, well-being, etc. Okay. So we are planting a new perspective. And it's really important to understand that when we are playing in the quantum, that we recognize that everything is. There's a potential for everything. There's a potential to be poor. There's a potential to be rich. There's a potential to be sick. There's a potential to be healthy. There's a potential to be known. There's a potential to be unknown. There's a potential to be abundant. There's a potential to live in lack, etc. There's a potential to live in peace. There's a potential to live in fear. All these states need, and these are all states, to be poor is a state, to be rich is a state, to be sick is a state, to be healthy is a state, to be conscious is a state, to be unconscious is a state. All these realities need, in order to be physicalized, is for you to occupy it. And if you occupy it consciously, it has way more power. If you occupy it unconsciously, it will still manifest, because, you know, we're doing a lot of stuff unconsciously and it's manifesting, but it has far less power, right? So the trick here is to merge with the state. If you're wanting to be rich, healthy, and safe and known, then to merge with those energetic states, to move into phase with them, to become a companion to these energetic states, so that you can materialize and their energetic code, really, so that you can plant the energetic code in the quantum field, and the results that grow like a garden are the things that you are materializing and manifesting. So with the idea that everything is, what states of energy, mind, feeling, and body defines your quantum goal? What states of energy, mind, feeling, and body? What thing that you're trying to create in your world, health, wealth, success, family, relationship, success, outcome, whatever it is, what states of energy, mind, feeling, and body defines your quantum goal? Get really clear about that. Is it a state of peace? Is it a state of freedom? Is it a state of clarity? Is it a state of well-being? Is it a state of joy? Is it a state of flow? And chances are good it's all of those things. What state defines your quantum goal? Identify those states. There's a lot of them. It's not just one thing, right? People will say in the spiritual new age, it's all about love. No, it's not. There's all sorts of states that are in alignment with your quantum goal. What, when we're looking at states, we think about what are the words that you would be saying when you are in this energetic state, when you are in your quantum goal, when you have achieved your quantum goal, when you have that degree of money in the bank, when you have that creative success, when you have that relationship, what are the words you use? What are the sentences you speak? What are the kind of conversations you have? What do you do with your time? Who do you spend time with? How do you spend your free time? How do you spend your creative time? Etc. These are all states of energy, mind, feeling, and body. So become really clear about these states. Identify them. Who will you be being? What will you be saying? How will you be acting? How will you be spending your time? What are the kind of thoughts that will be going through your mind, your body? What kind of food do you eat? All of that stuff. Where do you spend your energetic time? Become really intimate with these that are and these ideas that are rooted in the goal, and practice them. Make them a part of your day. And as you practice them throughout the day, you are planting those energetic states in the quantum field. And the quantum field is responding to you and collapsing those energetic states into physical matter. So not only are you the energetic seed, but you are also the energetic field. Remember, the Father and I are one. The quantum and I are one. My energetic state and the quantum energetic state are one thing. The seeds of state that I carry around with me in mind, body, energy, and spirit and are the same thing as the energetic field in which I create them. So there is no separation, right? So get really clear about these states. And get clear as well about the states that are not in alignment with your energetic goal. Get really clear about the energetic states of thought and of emotion and of attitude and of action that are not in alignment with your quantum outcome, right? Who do you spend time with when you're not in your quantum alignment? What are the thoughts that you have? What are the things that you say? What are the things you constantly repeat to yourself? What's your environment look like? Who do you, you know, how do you eat? How do you spend your day, et cetera? Get really clear about the states that aren't in alignment emotionally, mentally, physically, energetically. It's important that you know both sides of this equation because, and this is really, really important, and this is a part of the quantum process that many people don't understand, that while we are becoming quantum, for a time, you will exist in two states at once. For a time in your reality, you will have both wheat and tares, T-A-R-E-S. You will have both beneficial outcomes of your quantum work. The wheat is the stuff is the fruits of your labor. It's the reality that you're wanting to shape. But at the same time, for a while, you'll also have tares, T-A-R-E-S. Those are weeds. So you will the stuff that you've planted while you were a kid, while you were unconscious, while you were younger, while you weren't deliberately quantumly trained, those outcomes are going to continue to grow for a time. Both realities of the good and the not so good, the limited and the limitless, will grow in your reality for a time at the same time. Okay. And in scripture, in the Holy Bible, the Helios Biblios, the Book of Light, there is a scripture that says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." What this says is the quantum field is like a man who sows consciousness, who sows good ideas into his conscious mind. He uses his mind to sow good seeds, good ideas. But when the man wasn't conscious, when he was unconscious, when he slept, his lower mind, his enemy came in and sowed bad thoughts, sowed weeds among the wheat, and then disappeared. So this first statement is talking about conscious mind and unconscious mind, awareness and lack of awareness, planting seeds of consciousness into the energetic field. It goes on to say, "But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared." So what this says is when the good seeds sprouted and produced good outcome, there was also weeds in the field at the same time. So there was good stuff and not so good stuff growing side by side. So the servants of the owner came to him and said, "Sir, did you not sow good seeds in your field? How then does it have tears? And he said, an enemy has done this. So what this is, what this statement indicates is the self speaks to the soul and says, didn't you plant good stuff? Well, how come then there's still crappy stuff in here? And the soul says, it's okay. Our lower mind did this. It's okay. Our unconscious self did this, the enemy. The servant said to him, well, do you want us then to go and gather them up, the weeds? But the conscious mind says, no. You don't want to go in and pull up a bunch of stuff, because lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. So just leave them there. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat and put it into my barn. What this is saying is that for a time, your old reality and your new reality will exist in the same field at the same time. The instruction here is to not freak out about the tares. Do not freak out about the weeds. Don't freak out or judge or add meaning to. Remember that how we perpetuate something, how we perpetuate a state, is to add meaning to it. Like, and especially in the law of attraction scenario, where if something bad shows up, we go, oh, I must have attracted this. Oh, what does this mean? This must mean I'm, you know, this must mean I'm bad. This must mean I'm attracting stuff. This must mean bad things. We don't want to do that. We just want to go, okay, I see here. There's an old reality. There it is. I'm not going to make it mean anything. I'm not going to give it any energy. I'm just going to let it be there. Yet I'm going to continue to nurture my new ideal. I'm going to continue to nurture my goal. I'm going to continue to nurture what I do want to have grow. I'm going to continue to manage my energetic state that's in alignment with what I do want to see. So we don't freak out about the old patterns. You just say, I see you, but I'm going to continue to focus over here. And when the time is right, when the crop is ripe, when the reality that you've really wanting to be focused on has grown, then you'll be able to simply weed out and discard the old. You'll be able to say, that has absolutely no value to me, just like a weed. And in the direction in the scripture, it says, pull it out and burn it. It's not, it has no value to you. And you'll be able to reap the fruits of your new reality. You'll be able to collect the wheat of your new reality and bring them home. You'll be able to own them. It will be your reality. Place them in the barn. So for a time, this is what's going to happen. You will have two states existing at once. The crucial understanding is to know that this is so. And as you know that it's so, you don't freak out when the old patterns emerge. You don't give them any meaning. You don't give them any value. You don't perpetuate them. You don't let them determine your state. This is so, so, so important. This understanding is a massive tool. It will serve you so well. It will serve you so well. The analogy that I like to use as it relates to tares having two realities existing at the same time is kind of like an echo. The old reality is going to exist for a while as an echo. It's going to keep coming back for a time. And if you keep screaming at an echo, you will perpetuate it, right? Imagine yourself standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon and you shout into the Grand Canyon and you say, I am bad. Well, you're going to get an echo that shouts back to you that says, I am bad. Well, if you scream at it again and go, I am bad, and you shout and you have an argument with the echo, it'll never stop echoing, right? But if you shout into the Grand Canyon, I am bad, and it echoes back to you, and you don't respond to it, you just leave it. Eventually, the echo will stop echoing. This is what happens here. The two states at one time. So the question we have to ask ourselves as it relates to state is, what state do you predominantly dwell in? Okay, so we go back to our objective. What do we want? What are we wanting to create? Health, wealth, success, family, relationship success, peace of mind, health, well-being, whatever. We go back to that and we say, okay, what would it be like to already exist in that state? This is the question that I asked you earlier. And then as it relates to the 3D world and old patterns that are continuing to grow, the old tears, what are you reactive to in the 3D world? What pushes your buttons in your 3D world personally or the collective 3D world? What are you reactive to? And anytime we're reactive, we're coming from a place of unconsciousness. We're coming from a place of conditioning. We're not conscious in the moment. There's a difference between being reactive, where it's unconscious, and being responsive, where it is conscious. So what pushes your buttons in the 3D world? What are you reactive to? Is it when you look at the dollar signs in your bank account, when you look at what's going on in the 3D world right now, when you look at the weight on your scale, whatever it is, what pushes your buttons? And what states do you consistently occupy in response, in reaction to those things? Okay. These patterns are those patterns that are programmed in you before you're conscious of them and have to be deconditioned. The quickest way to decondition a reaction is to become conscious of them. This is why we have to identify them. So the first way you start to break apart old states is to become aware of them and go, aha, I see you. The moment we bring consciousness to something is the moment it loses its destructive power. And so we can, as you respond to it, as you become aware of it, you go, aha, let me just watch you. I'm not going to react to you. I'm not going to let this state run me. I'm going to observe it. Isn't this fascinating? Identify it, so become conscious of it, reflect upon it, become curious about it, be like, wow, look at all of these thoughts that are moving around in me and all of these states that are moving around in me that I've been completely unaware of. Wow, holy moly, this is a program. And that's another thing that you want to be able to say is, so first of all, become conscious of it, identify it and observe it and go, wow, I'm running a program. This is a program. This isn't even real. It's just energy that's moving through my system. It's a program that's running. So when we want to alter a state, we become conscious of it. We witness it. And then we say, this is a program that I am running. And it's not even mine. It's certainly not in alignment with where I want to go. So I'm going to change it. I'm going to alter it. I may have to sit here for 30 minutes in order to be able to get myself stable in the energy that I want to run, to be stable in the state that I want to exist in, but that's what I'm going to do. So we alter these states by identifying them, becoming conscious of them, watching them, witnessing, observing them, recognizing and saying to ourselves, oh my gosh, I'm running a program. This program isn't even mine. It was given to me by somebody else and I agreed to it. And I've been perpetuating it and I've been nurturing it and I've been continuing to plant it. No, I'm not going to run this program anymore and I'm going to make a different choice. I'm going to make a different choice. Okay. That's how we start to dismantle the old conditioning. That's how we start to amplify and empower states that are beneficial and disempower states that aren't. So going back to the idea of the 3D world, when something pushes your button in the 3D world, what meaning do you give to these outer circumstances? right? Again, the outer world is going to carry both realities for a while. And so when an old pattern of an old reality starts to play itself out, what meaning do you give it? If there's a delay, you say, oh, this means I'll never be successful. Excuse me. Or do you you get a flat tire and you say, oh, this must mean the universe doesn't want me to succeed. Or, you know, things aren't happening as quickly as you like. And you say, ah, this means that I'm never going to get what I want. Or, you know, stuff is going sideways in the 3D world like it is right now. And you go, oh, this means that the end of the world is coming. And this means that I'm going to get sick and I'm never going to have any money. And, you know, the world is over. What meaning do you give to outer circumstances? Get really clear about the meanings you have been applying to stuff. If you know the meaning, I've recognized over the last few years that if there was ever a delay, or if for whatever reason things were slow, in my mind I would get really frustrated by that. And the meaning I would give to things that were delayed would be like, you know, this isn't happening fast enough for me. And you know, if somebody, you know, in traffic, for example, if somebody would be driving really slow in front of me, I'd be like, oh, this means that I have obstacles. You know, the universe is in my way. It's in my way. And over time, I started to recognize that I was giving meaning to these things in the 3D world, and I was perpetuating them. You know, I was perpetuating them. I was continuing to replant them energetically, and so they would keep manifesting. And once I recognized that, I would just stop applying meaning to things. And as I stopped applying meaning to things, those things started to happen less and less. Okay, so what meaning do you give to outer circumstances in the 3D world? Good or bad, doesn't matter. Do the beliefs and attitudes that you carry and that place you into a particular state align you with your quantum vision or not? Right, when I was making judgments about things that were slowing me down, and I would say, ah, you know, this is frustrating me and this is slowing me down. That was not in alignment with my quantum idea that I am in flow, I am guided, I am supported, all is well, right? Certainly not in alignment at all. So do those attitudes and beliefs that you carry, that you have meaning, do they put you in alignment with your quantum vision or not? Remember that alignment is the key. Optimal states that are in alignment with your quantum outcome are what will generate that outcome more elegantly. And our practice is to be less at the whim of the outer world and what it's doing, remembering that it is a old program, right? Outer world, old program, and not reacting to it. Every time we react, or we give meaning to an old program, we perpetuate it. Ourselves into an energetic state by reacting to an old reality in the outer world, we perpetuate it. Okay? If you can release meaning, if you can just let whatever is happening in the 3D world just be, the quantum possibility exists just beyond that. Okay? But when we're still in development, when we're still working on this, we're addicted to meaning. You know, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does this mean? What does this symbol mean? And that's fine. When we're developing our spiritual practice, it's okay to apply meaning to that. But the less meaning we apply, the more flow we have, right? And so when we're addicted to meaning, this results in two steps forward and two steps back. Nothing changes. The weeds are still in the field and they are killing the wheat when we apply meaning, okay? So releasing meaning helps these things break apart. And as we become quantum, these conditions break apart even more quickly, okay? So if we can let go of meaning, greater flow is amplified. If we hold on to meaning, our reactions are automatic. our reactions become, our states become rigid, our states become habitual. And so that puts us again and again and again and again and again and again into limited patterns. We perpetuate the old reality. We perpetuate the old reality. We perpetuate the old reality. So it needs to become, again, we need to become conscious. We need to become aware. We need to observe. We need to say, haha, I'm running an old pattern, an old program here. I'm not going to give it meaning. And I'm going to continue to move forward toward my goal. Right? What that strategy does is it helps you shift into the expanded aperture, the expanded potential of your soul. You're able to move more consistently. You're able to stay in residence of your soul more consistently than being in the pattern of the self here, where we're coming from our reactionary nature. The soul takes nothing personally. And we'll talk about that in a moment here. But the soul takes nothing personally. The self takes everything personally. And that's why we need to let go of meaning. We need to release meaning. Okay. So where does your soul live? Where's your energetic state of residence? Where's your position of residence? So we have to ask ourselves, where am I staying? What state am I existing in? Right? The state of the self is very different than the state of the soul. So the place where we reside energetically, if we're coming from the soul, that soul's place of residence to which we constantly return, that state that we constantly return, is what we would consider its home. And this energetic state of the soul is where you generate your quantum outcome. If in the course of a day you constantly focus upon your problems, your limitations, you're constantly focusing on the old ideas of the 3D world, and you return to that state again and again, that is what you will multiply. But if you constantly put yourself in the ended state, that is the soul return. If you put yourself in the mental state, the emotional state, the feeling state of where you're energetically living, in the outcome, in the end game, in the end result, that's the soul return. You being in the ended state, becoming aware through the course of the day where you are energetically living, and through will, through focus, through practice, through mastery, putting yourself back in the ended state of the soul. So you ask yourself, am I dwelling in the state of lack in what I don't have? Or am I dwelling in the state of what I'm creating, of having it? It's here, it's done, it now. Am I dwelling in the state of what I owe? Right, looking at the bank account going, oh my God, I have $100,000 in debt. Oh my God, my credit card bank bills are due. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Or are you living in the state of energetically, emotionally feeling that you have $1 million in the bank, that you are completely debt free, that you are generous and abundant? Are you dwelling in what people think of you? What are they going to think if I do this? Oh, what are people going to say if I do this? Oh my God, what are my family going to think? Right? Does that have no effect on you? Are you concerned only about what your soul thinks of you, what your soul knows of you? Are you dwelling in what anyone thinks? Are you dwelling in a state of want? Are you dwelling in a state of worry about the external world? Are you dwelling in the past and holding on to what someone might have done to you or not done to you? What states do you recognize that aren't in alignment with your ideal, that come from self and come from programming and come from limitation? And what states of soul do you recognize that are in alignment with your ideal? These This ability to alter states and being able to shift from your limited states of being and plant your soulness in the fullness of your state already being completed. This is what is meant by the scripture: to he who has, more shall be given. To he who has not, even that which he has will be taken from him. It's a story of consciousness. If you position yourself in the conscious ownership, the conscious energetic state of living in the position of it being done, so it shall be done unto you. So throughout the day, be aware of that. And a fun thing, each night as you drift off to sleep, as you're getting ready to go into dream, fall asleep from the state of having it. Go to sleep imagining the outcome is already done. Go to sleep imagining that your book is a bestseller. Go to sleep imagining that you are financially abundant, that you've got that $1 million in the bank or whatever it is, that you've paid off all of your debts, that it is done. Imagine yourself going to sleep feeling the wedding ring on your finger. Imagine yourself going to sleep with your project completed from the state of having. The state of having. If you go to sleep with all of the mental anxiety going through your mind of what went wrong and what didn't occur, and you're perpetuating the bad states in your mind, then you'll be going to sleep in that state. And you'll wake up in that state, because that is those are the seeds you are planting in your mind, in your consciousness, before you drift off to sleep. So this is a wonderful exercise that before you go to sleep at night, plant the seeds of it being done. Being grateful, thankful, awesome. This is wonderful. Thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for this wonderful outcome. It is done. It is done. It is done. From the state of having. Okay. These seeds that you plant in these states of energy will be what perpetuate, will what start to grow. These things, these states that you are navigating in your inner world are going to be what shapes your outer world. And these states are also, when we're navigating and playing with the inner world and the outer world, there's also a mystical scripture that says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto the Father that which is the Father. What this means is, realize that there's stuff in the outer world that you're going to need to take care of. Caesar is the outer world. But render unto the Father that which is the Father. That is the inner world. So in the outer world, there are stuff that you are going to need to take care of. The Caesar's is the outer world. It's the effect of consciousness that appears in as the 3D world. And in while we live here in the 3D world, there's stuff that we have to do in the 3D world. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. We need to pay taxes. We need to follow the rules of 3D law. There are things we need to do in the 3D world that are part of living in the 3D world. But what has greater power is what we render unto the Father. Caesar's outer world, the world of Caesar, is an effect of consciousness. Right? The 3D world is an outcome of consciousness. As an effect, it has no creative power. The 3D world has no creative power. We think it does, especially if you're unconscious and if you're not quantumly or mystically trained, you believe it does, but it doesn't. It's an effect. So it has no creative power. The Father is the quantum world. The Father and I are one. The divine mind and I are one. The God force and I are one. The force and I are one. The field and I are one. Whatever you want to call that. The Father is the quantum world, the inner energetic world of cause. It is the ultimate creative power. So what this statement, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, take care of what you need to take care of in the 3D world, but don't give it any power. Right? Don't give it any power. As we start to become more quantum and more identified more deeply from soul and source, from the realm of the Father, the quantum, the 3D world of Caesar, the outer world, has less and less power and is less able to maintain realities that are rooted in old conditions. Right? Those weeds that have been growing in the field, they grow less and less stable. Old realities have less and less power as you are able to, in the moment, neutralize, release the old biases, that's the quantum forgiveness, break apart conditioning, which provides you with deeper wisdom and understanding. So, especially what we're experiencing now in the 3D world, right, with all of these bizarre realities happening right now, all of this stuff is happening to break apart old patterns. All the stuff in the 3D world that is happening right now in all of its strangeness is occurring to old systems that don't work. So this, and as they are breaking apart, our job as quantum engineers is to be sure that we are pushing our energy, calling our energy, returning our energy home to within us, and being able to do our quantum work within while this, the world of Caesar is doing what it's doing in the outer world. When this happens, that's when greater alignment and flow are possible. From this state of inner world, rendering unto the Father that which is the Father's being. Essentially what that means is using your quantum work to shape quantum reality. From that state, you're able to generate new meanings based on higher consciousness and in alignment, that are in alignment with soul and source. And when this happens, that moves us out of fight or flight. That moves us out of preconditioning. That moves us out of reaction and into a mindful, conscious response that is rooted in power. It breaks us out of the past, it blows us out of the conditions and the limits of self, and it explodes us out into infinite potential and that position of soul and source. So the scenario and the circumstances happening in the 3D world right now with the coronavirus and all of that other stuff is perfect training for us as quantum engineers, because if we give that outer world attention, we will perpetuate it. If we make it mean something, we will perpetuate it. But if we can call all of our energy back in and do our quantum work on the inside, then we will be able to navigate what's occurring, what's breaking apart. In this scenario right now, that's occurring right now, to render under Caesar that which is Caesar's means follow the rules that the outer world is making you follow. You know, stay home, be clean, don't hoard food, etc. But while you're doing that, while you're following the guidelines of the 3D world, then do your quantum work, render under the Father. This is why we do our meditations. This is why we do our quantum prayer work. This is why we do our homework. That's rendering unto the Father. Okay. Reaction to the 3D world will keep you attached to the old external circumstances. And the moment you choose to alter your reaction to outer circumstances is the moment you begin to alter reality. And as you're reshaping your state and your identity, you're altering your inner world, you're dissolving conditions of self, you're gaining greater access and power to soul. When that happens, you're slipping the bonds of old realities. I love this picture and this slide. The quantum engineer, the alchemist, the metaphysician popping through the fabric of reality and going to the other side of what is true and real. Love this image. One of my favorites. So be really cognizant of those strategies. And what will also help you navigate state is to understand that there are stages of quantum transformation. Just like understanding that for a time you'll be existing in two realities where old realities and new realities will coexist. That's a stage. And understanding those stages will help you. It's also important to understand there are stages in your own growth and transformation that it's really important to understand. And these stages will help you become aware of where you're at in any given moment and will help you shift your state when you need to. So these discoveries is the first one is discovery. Second stage is transformation. Third stage is awakening. And the fourth stage is integration. Now, we are constantly cycling circuitry through these states. It's not linear where it's like, oh, discovery, transformation, awakening, and integration. I'm done. Nope. You'll constantly cycle through these stages. So become aware of them, because as you navigate through your life and your world and you find yourself landing in a certain state, whether that state is reactionary or rooted in fear or old patternings, or you're noticing yourself in a state of expansion and growth and revelation, these stages that we're going to talk about will help you. If you find yourself stuck in a limited state, these stages will help you shift into a limitless state when you need it. So the first stage is discovery. This is where we all begin. This is the most immature phase. This is where all spiritual adventurers start, where you don't know your quantum identity, where you believe you are separate from source, where it's a me and it kind of relationship. This is where life is shaped by outer circumstances and is often driven by pain. Right, life is something that we are not we're not pleased with. We're adversarial with things. We're adversarial with people. We're adversarial with circumstances. We're adversarial with our past. You know, we live when we're in discovery. There's a lot of should. I should be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this. The world should look like this. The world shouldn't look like this. I could have done this, or I could have done that, or I wish I had done that, or I wish somebody else had done this, or I wish somebody else hadn't done this, or I wish I hadn't done that. There's a lot of that. Woulda, shoulda, couldas are happening in this phase. And in this stage, a lot of people are running away from pain, and the life force state, the state of energy that we exist in, is reactive. This is where most people exist in the world, and this is certainly where most people are right now with what's going on in the world. They're in discovery, right? Just look at what's happening in the 3D world right now as a collective, and look at the patterns that people are running, and then bring this down into your own world, and look at. Notice if these states are running. And it's important to do a little checklist. Go, okay. Yeah, there are some areas in my life where this is true for me. Yeah, I see it. Okay. Don't make it mean anything. Don't judge it. Just recognize it. Go, yeah, I see. I see where there's times in my world where I am adversarial, where with life, where I'm thinking I shouldn't be here, or I should be here, or if I only were here, or I wish, right? And I'm reacting to stuff. Yeah, I can see where there is parts in my world where I'm in discovery. Cool. Okay. Great. Second phase is transformation. This is the moment in our life where we say, enough of this. I am not doing this anymore. I am setting a new standard. I'm not going to live in this position of lack anymore. I'm not going to live in this position of confusion anymore. I'm not going to live in this position of whatever it is, fill in the blank. Enough. I'm done. And along with that, you say, I'm no longer looking to the past to define me. I'm no longer looking to the old patterns, the old conditioning, the old ideas, those states that I've been carrying around with me since I was a kid. I'm not going to use those anymore. Because they don't define me. They shaped my limited self, but they do not define my future. And from this position of transformation, we say, I am not going to come from the concept of the problem anymore. I'm not coming from the concept of the problem anymore. For me, it doesn't exist. Only opportunities to move forward. Only the future is where I'm going. And from this position of transformation, when you make this decision, this is a choice you make, you become stronger, more courageous, and you have greater excitement and enthusiasm. This moment, when you make these decisions, you transform the model of the world and you transform your relationship to stress, how you're reacting to the world. Because in this moment of transformation, you're saying, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to use those old patterns of energy and information. I'm not going to react in that same way. No, not doing it. The third phase is the awakening. At this stage, you start to become profoundly aware of your higher divine nature. I love this image of the higher self looking over the lower self. This blending, they're connected. They're not separate. And in this position of awakening, where you start to recognize I and the Father are one, you start moving into the idea that life is more than it seems. There is way more available to me than I have been giving permission. And I love, too, that this image shows this being in a garden, flowering all over the place. From this position of awakening, it's I know I have gifts to bring to the world, and the world has gifts for me. And when you come from this position, you're no longer coming from conditioned self. You're no longer coming from your reactions. You're no longer coming from your limitations. You're no longer coming from the position of all of those ideas that were planted in you by other people. So from this stage of being awakened, there's no one left to be wounded. There's no one to be insulted. There's nothing to prove. You're coming from your complete, exalted, whole, integrated being. And from this position, you can really start experiencing life, where life becomes a joy. Even when there's weirdness happening, life becomes a joy that you gratefully experience. You have empathy, compassion for yourself and for others, and you're willing at this stage to move towards life, to say, yes, I know I am the divine creator, and I move towards that opportunity. And you're able in this phase to recognize those things in your past that wounded you and see them as a gift. You're no longer carrying those patterns around as a limit. You're carrying them around as something that expands you. And then the fourth stage is integration, where life is congruent. Life is integrated. Life is whole. You are consciously living in and living from more than one state at a time. You're aware of where you're in discover. You're aware of where you're in transformation. You're aware of where you're living in awaken. And there's no inner opposition within you. There's no place within you that is at war with any other place. You are whole. You are integrated. And when you are whole and integrated, the outer world reflects that back to you. Right? So I want you to go through these four phases and recognize where you are. Chances are good you're in all of these levels to a certain degree. There are going to be areas where you are still in discovery, and there are going to be moments where you are discovering stuff. That's great. There are going to be areas in your life where this is active for you as well, where these ideas and energies and states of transformation, you're profoundly aware of them too. And then there are going to be parts of your life and moments in your day where this is active, where you're in this state. And there are going to be times where you're aware of all of them. So get clear about each of these stages and each of these states, because those stages are going to serve you as you move forward in altering states. Okay. So I want to give you another energetic tool to accelerate flow. And we've been doing a lot of quantum forgiveness. What that quantum forgiveness does is it removes those seeds that we've, those conditions, those programs, those things that were planted in us, it removes them. But I encourage you to do an ultimate forgiveness of a particular person or a particular situation that wounded you in a profound way, what I call an ultimate grievance. And going into your spaciousness guided meditation, the meditation that we did in our coaching call, that you can do on your own. You don't need music. You don't need a specific guided meditation. You don't need a recording from me, right? We practice the stillness and the spaciousness. That you go into that spaciousness and you bring to mind a particular person or situation that wounded you in a profound way. And you, in this ultimate forgiveness, this quantum forgiveness, you imagine them happy, healthy, and whole. And that person that cultivated a particular situation, that they are living to their highest potential. It might be a parent who was particularly unkind to you. It might have been a sibling or a spouse or a teacher or, you know, somebody who you don't know who violated you in a particular way. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what they did. You want to bring them to mind and imagine them in their happy, healthiest, whole estate, living to their highest potential. Even if in the past your perception of them was that they were an ultimate monster, and you bless them and you completely absolve them of any energetic responsibility or debt to you. And I want you to notice what happens when you do this. You might notice turbulence. You might notice resistance in your energetic state. That resistance would come from the position of self. That resistance might come from the position of you being in a discover mode, right? Where, remember that when we're in discover mode, we're coming from a patterns of this should have happened, this shouldn't have happened, if I'd only done this, or they'd only hadn't done that, right? So if there's turbulence in this exercise, just witness it and be able to bring the idea of, okay, am I in a discover mode here, or am I willing to step into a transformation mode with this? Can I be in the awaken mode where I recognize that there's nobody left to be offended or hurt or wounded? What can I bring? Which energy can I bring to this? Whatever you notice in this meditation or in this exercise. And then release them to your quantum mind. And be totally willing, 100%, to give yourself this blessing. Because again, as long as you are carrying someone around with you who is in energetic debt, or you are judging them or hating them, you are carrying that energy around within your quantum field long before they ever experience it. Okay. So this is another way we accelerate flow. Right. So this is a really rich and juicy module, all about energetic states and getting clear about what they are and recognizing them and then doing whatever it is we need to do or can do to shift them. Okay. So your quantum work for the week ahead is to continue to affirm the knowledge that if the quantum is everywhere, then I'm the quantum and I have access to its power. That's the mantra of the quantum engineer. Continue to shape your I am declaration list. I am life. I am health. I am happiness. I am success. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am divine, perfect well-being. Okay. Continue to do that. And then recognize the unconscious states that you have been planting since you were little. Notice the patterns of outcome that they generate in your life. And then using your states of transformation. Recognize, are you in discovery? Are you in, as it relates to those states, are you in discovery about them, meaning you're still judging them or pushing them or forcing them or fighting them? Or are you in the state of transformation where you can say, enough, these states are no longer valuable to me? Right? Recognize where you are in those states, and whether you're in discover or you're in transformation with those states, recognize that, release them. Forgive the person who planted them. It doesn't matter who gave them to you. It doesn't matter how old you were. It doesn't matter. Release them and forgive. So forgive the circumstance, forgive the person, and forgive yourself for nurturing them. And depending on how you feel about that, that will determine whether you are in the discover state with them, or you're in the transformation state with them, or you're in the awakened state with them. Become aware of your old realities and new realities growing in the same field at the same time, and simply notice it. Just go, oh man, yeah, I see where this part of my life, it's really starting to shift. I really notice that. Yeah, there's still some stuff over here that I'm navigating. Yeah, I'm still having, you know, still having issues with my relationships, but man, over here in my well-being, man, that's off the charts. Or my money, that's really changing. Over here, it's still a little bit stuck in, you know, in family stuff, but wow, okay. And just simply notice it. Become aware of the energetic states, mental states, feeling states that you occupy throughout the day. And then shift them through your observation and your stages. Can you shift it in your awakened state, from your awakened state, saying, you know what? Something's going on here. Life is way more than it seems. I'm not going to energetically hang out in this place anymore. I'm going to come from a position of awakening. Life is more than it seems. Or from your transformative state where you say, enough of this, I'm not doing it anymore. Or from your discovery state where you recognize, ah, I'm battling this. I'm fighting this. I'm reacting to life. I'm not going to do it anymore. Okay? Recognize when you're giving power to the outer world and shift it. Again, using either your discovery state or your transformation state or your awakened state of being non-reactive. Making a different energetic choice. And again, notice your states and where, when they're active, you might be living in different states in different areas of your life. That's okay. What we're doing is we're becoming integrated. We are becoming whole. Instead of being scattered in a bunch of different energetic directions, we're bringing all of the pieces of the puzzle back together. We are generating wholeness. And remembering that the quantum field recognizes wholeness, recognizes wholeness. Wealth recognizes wealth. Power recognizes power. Coherence recognizes coherence, right? This, when we recognize these energetic states and we integrate everything, we become whole. We become cohesive. We become unified. We become integrated. And if you're coming from a place of integrity, integration, then the world will reflect that integrity back to you. So enjoy this module. It's really, really fun. And it's really interesting to start to see how we can play with these tools to help us shift our states. So, as always, our live Q&A happens this Saturday at 11 o'clock Pacific time. I'll send you in the details. And as always, I love having you there live on the call so that you can ask questions or bring in comments and things. But if you can't, you can always email me your questions in advance at contact@simonewright.com. The call will be recorded, as always. So, enjoy this module. It's really, really, once you start to get the feel of it, you start to see how easy it is for you to shift your energetic states and put yourself over and over and over again consistently into the quantum state that is essential to you shaping your reality. And eventually over time, you'll just find yourself in that state all the time, regardless of what is happening in the collective 3D world outside. And that's what we need now, isn't it? So, with that, my dear quantum engineers, I'm going to say bye for now. Enjoy this module. Have fun doing the homework. I'll see you on the coaching call on Saturday. Enjoy the rest of your week. Bye.